It is always a good day when the folks from the Red Cross pay us a visit, so today is a good day. They have been very busy across the nation and certainly locally this calendar year, and we welcome several folks from the Northeastern New York chapter of the American Red Cross to discuss all kinds of things: the rise of large-scale responses, the role of volunteers, the rising costs of doing the work that they do. To tell us about this, we welcome a whole bunch of really cool people. We begin with Joanne Schrader, volunteer and health services lead. Thank you very much for being with us. Max Sanchez is here, staff community disaster program manager. Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you. Good morning.
And Derek Dobson is on the staff of the Red Cross Northeastern New York chapter and regional philanthropy officer. What could you possibly have on your mind? Good morning, Derek. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having us.
It's really good to see you. And the dear friend, Mary Alice Mulgard, is here, a volunteer partner in disaster public relations. She taught me everything I know. and the College of St. Rose has been a mentor and a dear friend, and it's a delight to see you. Thank you so much.
It's wonderful to be back.
Wonderful to have you here, and also just a wonderful asset to the station, has been a volunteer and has helped us for years and years. So all good. Welcome all. So where would you like to begin? I guess I would like to start talking about just how busy you all have been with the number of responses and large scale responses that you all have had to have had to deal with. Who would like to start off on that? Max, do you want to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just in general, here in our Eastern New York region, we have been very busy. Everything from multifamily fires to flooding. And then you look at a bigger, look at it at national level. I mean, we've had wildfires, we've had hurricanes, we've had tornadoes. The idea of what we call continuous response is real, and it's been happening. So we have been very busy.
It is and you never know when the next disaster is going to hit, right?
That's correct.
But you always have to be ready for the next thing to hit.
That's correct. Part of my position is we are working 24/7. If something happens at 2 a.m, we are ready to respond, and I'm ready with my team. I have amazing volunteers that help us anytime something happens.
Joanne?
I'm agreeing. I mean, we had just last night at 4:00 a.m, there was a call in Schenectady and there was a fire. And the local responders did not need to go out yet because it just so happens the client's in the hospital and she's not ready to be seen. But again, the call comes at 4:00 a.m. and the team gets called and we go out. Thank goodness our Capital District chapter has a nice group of young people who are up all night long and who like to take those late night calls.
And then they call me later on. I get, after the people have been out in the field, yeah. I get the report. And then sometimes at 2, 3, 4 o'clock, I'm writing the press release for the fire, for the flood, for whatever it is, that then gets distributed to the media here in our area.
And what are you ultimately telling us, the media, about what happened?
We're not giving out private personal information, but we do tell the stations, the newspapers, bloggers, that the fire occurred, where it occurred, but more importantly, what services we provide. And we have a financial assistance that is given to the victims of the fire or the flood. We also provide the opportunity for mental health and health services. Sometimes that can be something as simple as helping replace medications that were lost in a fire, or eyeglasses, hearing aids, assistive devices, and mental health counseling, assistance. We don't provide a therapist. That's not what we do. But the ability to reach out to folks who can help. We also provide what are called comfort kits, and comfort kits contain hygiene items. The last thing in the world you think about is, gee, I got to grab my toothbrush as I'm running out of my burning house.
Yeah.
So we do that. Those comfort kits are just bridges for people until they can obviously help themselves a little later on.
So two questions, the more important being the second, the less important being the first one I'll ask, which is, and you follow all of the steps that you taught me in my news writing class.
Yes, sir. Yes, every one of those steps.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. It makes me feel better. I'm glad things haven't changed since the 80s. But as far as the information that goes out and then from there, this also helps, I assume, you in trying to that people want to often help a situation when a particular community, a particular home, a particular area has been impacted by ..
Yeah. Yeah. The Northeast is notorious for not having those natural disasters that happen down in the South, but our biggest disaster is home fires. And 4 o'clock last night is not unusual. It happens every day, every night, all throughout the year. However, there are anomalies, and a lot of this is due to what we're seeing with the climate. And this summer we had a tornado out in Rome, New York. And from what I understand from Max's team, they had just done a tornado scenario, as happenstance.
We did. Yeah. At DTI, which is Disaster Training Institute in Syracuse, just like the month before, and the make-believe scenario was a tornado hit Syracuse, and the storm was so bad, and a train derailed, and there was fatalities. So we did these mock trainings, and then here, tornado hits.
Yeah.
Utica area.
Don't wish it upon us, right?
Yeah. And an event like that, Joe, sorry to get back, will inspire the public to, pick up the phone or come and call us, want to help out. The biggest way they can help out in the immediate aftermath of that is to sign up to volunteer, learn about what we do, because as we're pushing more and more of our current volunteers to these affected areas, we're losing our local volunteers that need to respond to those fires. Mm-hmm. Now, the Red Cross works in a way for fundraising where we can't specifically designate to a specific event unless it reaches a certain threshold. So a lot of the events we have here in the Northeast don't usually meet that. But what it does is it provides an example to say, listen, home fires are happening every night. If you give to disaster relief or to our home fire campaign, you are literally helping the Red Cross pass money from our donors to the clients that are affected. And on average, I would say the Red Cross distributes about close to $800,000 just in direct financial assistance to mostly fire victims.
Talking to the wonderful folks from the Northeastern New York chapter of the American Red Cross on the roundtable this morning, you can find out more information about their work by going to redcross.org. Max, when we talk about you, your team, and what you do, if there is a hurricane to the south, it is not impossible that you will get a call that they need help from the folks up here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, a lot of our volunteers are specialized in specific types of training, whether it's logistics, whether it's external relations, somebody like Mary Alice, who specializes in public affairs. We have these volunteers who specialize in these different activities. And what will happen is a disaster will happen, and they will look to see what need is to be filled. So whether it's, government operations to work in an emergency operations center, whether it's a mass care coordinator to help in the shelter, or disaster health services. I mean, they will look and they will call us, and we're ready to go. I have my bag packed at all times.
and that's a deployment, right?
That is a deployment.
And you don't know how long that's going to be.
So it actually, we do pretty much know how long it's going to be.
All right.
So generally, for any level below a manager, so we have service associates and supervisors, more of the entry level, it's going to be about 2 weeks.
Okay.
So it's a solid 2 weeks. Manager levels and above, you're going to be there for about 3 weeks. A lot of times if you're an assistant director, somebody who's at the headquarters, you're going to be there 3 weeks, maybe a month. And there are times they might ask you to extend. Mm-hmm. If you can do it, that's fine. If you can't, that's okay.
They do.
But you have a good 2 weeks you're looking at. And, I mean, I love it. I try and get out as much as I can.
And you have a situation like what happened in Asheville, North Carolina. And, sure. And Red Cross is still on the scene, right?
Correct.
Oh, yeah. Correct.
So, yes. So, I mean, this is an ongoing thing. I mean, it's been months, yeah. But they're still there.
And they will be there for months. This is a long term. Some of the figures that we were seeing just at the end of the immediate crisis, they were projecting out 6 to 8 months at a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Man. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was recently in Tampa, Florida. I was there for Helene and then there for Milton.
Right.
And I was there for a little over a month, about 33 days. And I saw people leave and come back. So they still have people there. I mean, a lot of the disasters that we might not think about, we still have people. If you look at Maui, the wildfires, we still have people there.
And they're drawing volunteers from around the country.
That is correct.
Not just Northeast New York.
That is correct.
Yes.
Northeastern New York, though, has a great record, track record.
Correct.
We send people all over the country, probably at a higher rate than most of the other chapters. Mm-hmm. And our people are well-trained and they're well-received. We get great feedback, great response.
Yeah.
And they're 90% of them are volunteers.
That's correct.
Wow. I mean, that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. I think it's important, too, to mention that training. You know, we don't just send people willy-nilly on deployments.
Correct.
They get lots of robust training.
Absolutely.
And then with the Milton and Helene hitting one after the other, the local chapters were all they were offering training, calling it boot camp, a 2-day, 8 hours each day boot camp training, because people were calling every day, all day long. It's like, I need to help. Like, I have to
begging
do something.
Begging to go.
Is that what can you do to get me on a plane and to help those people that need help? And that's what we did. We, all the different chapters, all the local Red Cross here in Northeastern New York put together these boot camps so people could be trained to go and help as best as they can.
Takes a lot of coordination.
Absolutely.
It does. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
As far as, Joanne, your title of health services lead, so give us a sense of that, of the health services.
I am a retired registered nurse.
Bless you.
And retired 3 years ago. And after 1 year of retirement, I said, I've got to do something. And I called the Red Cross, and it was a perfect fit for me. So I started out doing disaster action team, which is the local home fires. That's how I started. And then I said, I could do more than that. So then I put my nursing cap on. And so a lot of health service people within the Red Cross, their main objective is to deploy. So wherever there's a national disaster, that's where they will be. I deploy maybe once a year. So I did go in August, I went to Florida and helped out with Hurricane Debbie, and it wasn't as big a disaster as they anticipated. So I did a lot of driving around Florida, northern Florida, Sarasota, just helping out with wherever they needed me to help. They had what they called MARCS, which is a multi-agency
resource centers
where not only the Red Cross is there with a table, but every other county, state, federal. So the clients is like a one-stop shopping that they can come. Mm-hmm. So I did that for 2 weeks in August, and then I did deploy a second time, and I went to Asheville. I went to North Carolina, and I was stationed in a shelter. So what I do in the shelter is I had two other health service people, both of them happens to be from Idaho. So they were there, and we had about 25 clients at the time. And by the time that I left after 2 weeks, we were down to 11. So we work hand in hand with the shelter resource team to try to get them to their next home, because a lot of these people had absolutely no place to go. So and we would just do a lot of physical assessments and just a lot of talking and visiting with the clients. And I had no injuries at my shelter, but a lot of people were coughing. You put 25 people together in a great big building, and they're all eating, breathing, touching, you know, so. But we had no major health events go on.
So who ultimately is, when I was thinking of this as you were describing of working with local government, local agencies, people on the ground in particular communities where you're joining in and you have one table, but there's many others there.
Mm-hmm.
Who ultimately is, where does the Red Cross fit in the organization of all of that?
So we, with most local governments, we have a MOU, a memorandum of understanding, that we will be responsible for mass care. So that's sheltering and feeding. So it is worked into a lot of different government preparedness plans or local, you know, government preparedness plans, that if something happens, we're that first phone call.
So how do you have enough money for this?
Well, we never have enough money.
So what do we do about that?
It's always a challenge for us. But you know, we really appreciate being on the air here in December. This is the season of giving. So we find that most people are the most charitable this time of year. It's been an enormously chaotic year for the Red Cross, and we do need to raise as much money as possible. And one of the best ways to do that is to go to redcross.org and hit the donate button.
Yeah. I know there was a time, and I'm not trying to air dirty laundry here, but I know there was a time where some were saying of how much of every dollar goes to actual to care. That was never, it seemed to me, as bad as it was portrayed to be, but it has gotten better, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I've been at the Red Cross for 10 years, and that was sort of on the tail end of Sandy. And Sandy, we learned a lot from Katrina, actually, in previous leadership. Since the previous leadership, we've really learned how to be more prepared for these things and to rely more heavily on our volunteers, so that we're not spending as much as we normally would. And also, in the last 20 years, through technology alone, our emergency response vehicles, for instance, have changed from old ambulance trucks to Sprinters now. And these are the vehicles that go out in the community and give provide food to the clients.
So in a donation, the lion's share of it is going to...
Oh, yeah, yes, yes.
Yeah. As far as many people think of the Red Cross, they think of blood donations. I mean, that's sort of the day job too, right? I mean, you have to figure all that in too.
Correct. I'm not part of Biomed Services.
Ooh, Biomed.
Biomed.
Yeah. If we had one more microphone, we would have had a Biomed person here.
They operate a little bit separately from the disaster side, humanitarian services side. But there is always an ongoing need for blood. And we're seeing fluctuations in the rates of donations. COVID really did a number on Biomed Services, and it's taken us some time to recover from that. But then the natural disasters that occur also affect what happens with the blood drives. In Florida, North Carolina, and South Carolina, during the hurricanes, hundreds of blood drives had to be canceled because there was no electricity, or the roads were washed away, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of on playing catch-up most of the time. And summer is also a down cycle for blood donations because people are off doing fun things like being on vacation, going, you know, out on the boat, doing that sort of thing. And giving blood is the last thing on their mind. So we ramp up our collections. We ramp up our promotions activities for that. And it is a little bit cyclical, but we're seeing now that things have somewhat recovered from the summer serious decline. So we're doing better.
So I'm gonna throw out some figures here, and please, any of you, but especially Derek, if I get any of these wrong, please let me know. But to deploy a volunteer to an operation, travel, transportation, lodging, food, and support systems, for say 12 days, about $1,800. That's what that costs.
Yep.
For the average cost of opening a shelter for a night is $10,700.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
And
those are all donor dollars.
And that's just for one night. And ultimately that can help what, 150 people?
I'll defer to the experts on that.
Yeah, I mean, we can help anywhere from, 50 people to 200 people.
Right.
I've seen shelters upwards of 500 people.
And then, as far as the blood, $5,000 helps cover the cost of a blood drive.
Yeah, the heart of our blood drives are our mobile drives that you see all throughout the community. It takes a lot of resources to get all the equipment and all the staff to those events. Sometimes our phlebotomists are leaving at 3 in the morning to get all the way up to Malone, New York, or somewhere to set up at 9 o'clock a.m. Blood drive. So there is a lot of costs associated with the travel, the testing of the blood products, and everything associated with the transportation as well. So any you donate your blood, but you also donate your money. You can designate it to Biomed if you'd like, if blood is in your heart.
Hopefully. Yeah. I question it
but
sometimes.
I did want to also plug for the Biomed. Giving blood is very, very easy, very simple. It only takes about 15 to 20 minutes. You'll get a ginger ale and a snack. But you can also, if you really, really want to help people, you can also consider donating platelets or plasma. These are other blood products that are take a little bit more time. But just go to redcross.org and check out our blood services.
Mary Alice, I've obviously have known you as a firefighter, very involved within fire services and emergency services in your community. So you, before even becoming a volunteer, I assume, have seen them in action as you have responded to various crises across the community.
Definitely. And in fact, I often am on the scene of a fire and the fire chief will call me over and say, how do I get in touch with the Red Cross? What can we do? We just, in the community that I live in the Hilltowns, I live in the town of Bern, and Thanksgiving week, we had two major fires. And one was a family of five, and their house went up instantly. There was no saving the house. And I was on the scene there, but I was physically on one end of the scene, and the person who was looking for me was on the other side of this fire scene. And they just didn't know that it was a simple thing. 1-800-RED-CROSS mm-hmm. will get to the right people who will begin then the dispatch process to get someone to come to the scene. Red Cross was not able to come that particular night of the fire. They came the next day. And so they were able to provide those services that I talked about earlier, the financial assistance plus all of the tangible things, the support. We don't bring, packages of clothing. We don't do that sort of response, but it's the ability to get them to the resources that they need is something that we're really good at. All right. We also then provide services for families that experience a fatality. We have spiritual care, and there is something, about what the Red Cross can do is just to have someone to talk to about this horrible thing that has happened. As I said, that same week we had a second fire. It was a double fatality. And we were able to reach out then to family members and to provide that comfort and care. Sometimes it's just someone to talk to, a handhold.
Upend your entire life.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it changes everything. For folks who want to find out more information about the Red Cross and the beautiful work that they do, especially for the Northeastern New York chapter of the Red Cross, but the Red Cross as a whole, you can go to redcross.org. for more information. That usually locks you into the local chapter, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Redcross.org for more information, and you can find out how you can help and the great work that they do year-round and will be doing in the coming months and years. We're so lucky to have all of you, working so hard, and thank you for your tireless efforts. A great pleasure to speak to you, and to I hope you just have a beautiful holiday season. Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you for having us.
Very nice to have you here. Redcross.org for more information. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.